What's up, witches? It's the Undercover Witch, and I just wanted to jump in here and give a little intro for this video. So today we are interviewing Zandra Hawes. So if you're interested in how psychology and spirituality and witchcraft and spiritual awakenings all intermingle together, then please, please, please stick around because that's mostly a majority of what we talk about. But Zandra Hawes is a psychologist and a spiritual worker, so she does really good working with her clients and connecting those two dots and leading them on their best journey. But that's what we do here. That's what we do on this channel. We talk about how to take that spiritual world, that witchy world, and that psychic client world, and kind of apply it to our life, that real world life that often gets separated from everything else. And make sure that we're able to lead an example of what a holistic life can look like. So if you're interested in that, please like, subscribe, comment down below. If you're on Podbean and you're listening to the podcast, or you're on another provider and you're listening to the podcast, go check out my YouTube channel if you're interested in tarot readings, because I do each of the signs there, and I don't just do your sun sign. I cut it down and I go through your sun sign, your moon sign, and your rising sign on different weeks, so that you don't have to sit there questioning if this sun sign reading it applies to you, which parts apply to you, which parts don't. It cuts out all of that, so there's no confusion. So y'all can go check that out. If you're on YouTube, thank y'all so much for listening to this episode. Please, if you're interested in witchcraft, spirituality, make sure you're listening in to those podcast episodes, and these interviews. But real quick before we begin, I've already introduced Miss Zandra, but I just wanted to give y'all a little insight that this interview is going to start a little abruptly, and it's going to end abruptly because at the beginning we had sound and just technical issues, and it kind of pushed us back a little bit. So we kind of start off after already trying to start a conversation, and then at the end, just because we used up so much time at the beginning, we both have to say our goodbyes, and we pretty much cut off there. So I just wanted to let y'all know that it's gonna end a little bit abrupt, but I hope that you enjoy and leave a comment. Tell me what you learned. Tell me what you think.
Well, I think you said your first question was basically around, okay, there's all these things that you do. Say more about that.
Yes, that's exactly what my question was.
Oh my gosh. Well, I don't know. I don't know in so many different ways, like especially being a person that's a weaver too. And I was bringing that up before. I don't know if you're a weaver too, where it's just like, okay, this over here is really cool. Wow, this is over here. But I feel like so many people that are working in different spiritual holistic traditions, whenever you see their name, there's always like eight different things afterwards, because it's like Reiki master this, right? Personal coach over here, right? Or all those different things. And I struggled in a lot of ways to define all the different things that I've like learned and trained for, because I'm one of those nerdy people that it just loves discovering things. I'm like, oh, this is over here. Oh, this is really cool. Oh, this is in this different country, you know, or like, how do I study my lineage over here? And so what I came up with is like, wow, like all this work that I do is really about holding this massive, deep love space for people and being able to see not only people in the human form, but in their full spiritual form, and being able, whether that's as a therapist, working through a lot of the mental health or emotional pieces that people experience here, right, between our normal lives, versus sometimes people are coming in even through traumatic experiences and saying, wow, you know, maybe I lost someone, or maybe this difficult thing has been happening and I need to work through this grief or emotional pieces, but I also really want to open up my spiritual connection, or all these things are flooding through. I keep seeing a lot of people coming in who would I define as going through spiritual emergencies, meaning the spirit is emerging, but it's emerging through really hard, what I would call thorn medicine kind of things, where it's painful medicine that's showing us something about ourselves, but it's not necessarily through the happy route. So sometimes
Right.
teaching people energy healing. Sometimes I'm helping people open up those abilities. Sometimes it's using Buddhist psychology to really help someone use mindfulness to see mental patterns and to really kind of use neuroplasticity to be able to change their brain and reprogram things in. So it's all in the grand scheme of things, regardless of the label that someone like comes to me for, the whole kind of container that I'm holding in a big way is how to help someone move back into their soul essence, right? Their authentic self, and whatever that looks like, it's so different depending on the human. So that's sort of, despite all this, the shiny labels, right? And all the acronyms after the names, that's kind of the essence of what I do, or the process for the people that I see.
That sounds like awesome, beautiful. Also, I am one of those people that I have my hand in like all the baskets. So I completely understand. Yes, definitely. But you mentioned the spiritual emergency, and I had a lot of questions about that, the spiritual emergency versus the mental health diagnosis. But just starting with what is a spiritual emergency?
So I think our world, or like maybe we could say the Instagram world, right? Or like the popularizing of spirituality, the awakening or ascension is such a big word, right? And so people will say, I'm having a spiritual awakening, right? Or something in me is waking up and recognizing I'm more than just this body or my mind. Something's waking up and noticing that perhaps there's a spiritual aspect to the self, right? So that's sort of the general spiritual awakening. But a spiritual emergency, oftentimes the catalyst for the spirit emerging through, can feel really, really chaotic. And a lot of times there's a traumatic catalyst that's sort of the cause of it. It's not just like you walked through Barnes and Noble and all of a sudden there was a shiny book that just felt right and right, and you pick it up and you find tarot cards, or you go to a crystal shop and you hold one and it feels good, and it reflects something in you. That's sort of more of the milder form of the spiritual awakening. But a spiritual emergency can literally feel sometimes like a mental health episode in a way. It can feel like mania for some people. There can be this really cloudy, ungrounding kind of energy that comes through, and the ego or the body interprets it as being crazy or confusing, scary, because it can feel almost flighty in a way, like a panic attack, right? In some sort of way. So it's like there's an emergence of something moving through me, and it feels like an emergency because it doesn't feel safe. And a lot of times that can happen. It can happen from psychedelics. It can happen from certain things that come up in families. It can come up from divorce. It could come up from losing someone. It could come up with health issues. But it's a bigger catalyst, basically, that causes someone to have to reevaluate their life. And the spirit starts coming through, but it can be really painful and scary. And I think some people think like, it's like you're either connected with your spirit or you're not, right? There's like, I'm a spiritual person or I'm not, but I sort of see it really, really on a full spectrum of your spirit emerging happens in different ways, right? Throughout our whole lives. It's just sometimes the spiritual emergency is the first big push where someone starts experiencing that energy. And again, it usually is through sometimes more difficult emotions, or the way that we're interpreting it causes really difficult emotions.
Right. I've heard this before too, that empaths aren't born, that they're made, I guess, through just different experiences, and often it's traumatic experiences as well. So I think that the similar could be true with those spiritual or psychic experiences. I was wondering about that because not only, myself, but some of the clients that I've worked with and the people I've talked to, we've had really in-depth conversations about, that difference between the spiritual emergency and mental health. Just because that line for everyone seems to be different. So I can talk to one person and they use spirituality for like manifestation and kind of like setting your environment pretty much as well.
But then if you start including, like for me, I really like to meditate on, the life experiences I've had, how you the people that I've lost, etc. And so when I go into that and I start talking a little bit about that and how spirituality's helped me, then there's usually a like disconnect between me and those people of, well, that sounds like a mental health issue that you that's a counselor issue. So, but then there's other people that go even, further in that than I do. So I just think that I guess the differentiation there was is interesting to go over. But have you, I guess when you're working with clients, do you come across that conversation a lot?
Like the difference around, like, is this the chicken, the egg kind of thing? Like, okay, is it a mental health
Right.
issue happen and this is
Yes.
causing this?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just appreciating your ability to hold both in a lot of ways too here, because it can get messy around like, ooh, here's these really big human experiences that I'm having. And there's another kind of counterculture, that most of us are aware of, where it's like, oh, that's spiritual bypassing, right? Or you're using spiritual energy to like not deal with your problems, right? There can be that kind of harsh energy sometimes, that there's some pieces to it. But I guess there's a lot of folks, especially right now, I see so many people that have these really tender experiences where they are, how do I say this? Maybe they're struggling with general anxiety, right? It's just like, whew, okay, I'm a sensitive person, whether that was programmed into me because of my family not being able to hold certain things. And so I had to have that sensitivity, right? Or maybe I'm just aware as a person. Maybe that person comes in and is like, well, in general, I've always had anxiety, right? I've always had this sort of flighty energy, struggled with panic attacks. Maybe they've been getting better. And then perhaps maybe that person's like, and, a few months ago, this beloved son of mine had a car accident and left the planet. And so now, because they left the planet, I not only am having anxiety attacks, sort of in a way, but it's causing me to want to communicate with this person because I didn't really think about where that person went. But all of a sudden, when I see a beautiful hawk in the sky, I just think of him. It's almost like he's right there, and that doesn't make sense to me. And so they're trying to make meaning and understanding, and yet there's this other piece that they're working on. And so it's all of this. I kind of call it a heart map. Like when I sit down with people, I'm like, okay, what is in the body and what is in the heart and what are you wanting for yourself? And what is this bigger inner vision or inner knowing or these big, huge value-based questions around, what would you love to bring in? And so a lot of times, even today before this, I had a couple consultation calls with people that are going through just such big souls going through things. I just sometimes it tears up, like how amazing people are.
Yeah.
It's just whew, but it's a lot of times I sit with people and I say, like, if we could literally paint a picture of where you would love to be, if you had permission to be there, right? Like what does that look like? And depending on what people say they would love to get rid of, and what people say they would like to bring in, and how they would want to connect with themselves, for me, it lets me know, like, okay, is this a skill-based thing around anxiety? Is this a mindfulness piece around being able to detach from that specific thought? And how does that skill of being able to witness anxiety and move into the prefrontal cortex part of the brain, where you can witness something without becoming it,
Right.
actually also help on a spiritual level? Because most of the time when people are opening up spiritual abilities, doubt just floods in, right? Doubt, fear, am I crazy? Am I making it up? All that stuff comes in. And again, if you have the skill to be able to see that kind of stuff without blending into it, you actually also help your intuitive development and to be able to watch things as well. So there's so many sweet overlaps for something that could be a mental health issue that maybe could this person experiences an emergence, right, of their spirit due to a traumatic thing, and yet there's a way to honor and work on both simultaneously. So the chicken and the egg piece, I feel like, is so different depending on the person. But I see a lot of times mental health issues being connected to spirit, because all people are truly wanting in the end is full authenticity. It's like the highest frequency, right? We can be as to be our authentic selves. And so if that means being more of our soul selves or our soul essence, I call it, or moving out old patterning or removing grief, we're all just moving towards that authenticity. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That makes complete sense to me. I love that. Yeah, because I've never really thought about it, about the, you know, the chicken and the egg kind of scenario, but it is that. And oftentimes, I was just thinking about that this morning, because I don't know, I think a majority of my friends have some type of mental illness, and I think we just kind of flock together, that I almost forget that there's people that they can't relate to that life. Like, they can't relate to the anxiety. They can't relate to like the depression, or, you know, I have like ADHD. They have no idea what that is like at all. So, I think that a lot of times when I'm, or some people have like a different mental illness, so they can't relate to yours. So oftentimes it is like, are you sure this isn't causing that? And it's not that it's spiritual, or are you sure that, you know, it's not something spiritual and you just need to take a second? Like, it's always back and forth. But I've never realized it's kind of like the chicken and the egg, you know?
You bring up such an important point, because people will be like, is this a spiritual thing I need to work on, or do I literally just need to learn this particular technique? Right. And it'll start through. And you're right. It is tricky around like, okay, is this a spiritual, like my partner, I don't remember how many months ago, but we were taking our dog for a walk and he like tripped or something. And then like, he didn't feel any pain, but then like a few days later, his toes started hurting. And his mom is from Serbia, and she says that like the big toe is representative of like a family wound, an ancestral wound. And so him and I are like, okay, are you healing an ancestral wound? Right. And, but then we're also like going to the doctor, and they're like, maybe it's gout. And he's like, but I don't drink. So there's all of this energy. And then we finally go to a medical doctor, and he's like, yeah, you fractured your toe. And he's like, oh, it took like three people. But we went through this awesome spiritual process, right? Like, hey, maybe we should do a meditation to clear your, you know, so it's like, it was the physical sort of piece there. Was there a spiritual component? We made it a spiritual component, and we also did some really good healing and some also laughter. So like a minor version of that, right? Of just like, what is this here?
I know. I tend to like take things, or I try to take things as they are. I mean, if it's something that I feel like is like in the physical, or I usually say like the physical world, but like if it's in that physical space, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get this checked. But also I feel like, it, you know, if something's happened in this area of my body, there's probably something spiritual going on too. I might as well knock it all out at once. Right. Especially if it's something that continuously comes up, like I'm always having a problem with like my hands or something, then I'm like, okay, there's something going on with this, you know? So maybe it's, you know, multiple injuries in one area, or like you just continuously feel bad for one thing or another. Like my partner will get like randomly ear infections and things like that very often. So we're always talking about like clairaudience, because he experiences that, and like, okay, so like, let's figure out how to like balance this out, because he is not spiritual as I am. He's not into that world or anything, but he knows I am. You know, whenever we talk about things and we work together on stuff, I'm like, well, you know, maybe this would be interesting to look at, because this is something that comes up over and over and over again, and they're not connected. Yeah. They're not always connected to each other. So I do think it's important to, if you're interested in that spiritual side, if that's something you believe in, I always preface with, if that's something that you believe in, then it's probably something you should look into as well. You shouldn't just go one route. You should explore the multiple and do what's best for you, pretty much.
I love how you are with your partner with that. You're like, well, if you believe in this, or like, maybe let's look at it this way, the sweetness around holding both. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It takes a lot of space to, I think, work with clients and people, and especially with people that you're closer to, then it takes a little bit more space to work with them.
Yeah. Right.
But Speaking of everything coming together, I wanted to talk about holistic healing. It's actually something that we talked about it in my class. I also teach pharmacy tech class, so I'm telling you, I did everything because
Everything. I love
of
it.
and they were talking about herbs and like homeopathic remedies, and I was like, well, you know, a lot, even in the medical field, a lot of holistic healing is done, and a lot of people don't think about that, but things like dietary needs, there's some hospitals where they are, you know, pulling in Reiki practitioners and healers. There's mental health, you know, there's this whole world that I think people don't realize is kind of coming into this mainstream, like medical care. And even with, especially dietary, I think that always gets me is that even in, you know, if you're sitting and working in a hospital, we'll talk about dietary and it's a very normal conversation, but it's always on to the side because it's not the pharmaceutical area. So there's like different split ups of everything. So I think more holistic healing happens than people know about. But I was just wondering for you, how does that holistic healing come together?
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking of there's a really, really brilliant client that I work with right now, and she so psychic, so phenomenally, just this amazing energy healer, and she's a critical care nurse. So she sees really, really high levels of trauma and things like that, and she's bringing in, sometimes without even people or families knowing, lots of holistic care that maybe doesn't always come up in some of the industry. It depends on, right? It's hospital to hospital too, and insurance to insurance, where certain things are totally covered versus others. But sometimes there's a lot of folks considered more in the Western medicine world that are actually very holistic in themselves, even in the energy sort of that they bring. So I think on like a practitioner front, before I became a therapist, I have a graduate degree in holistic health studies, and most of my class were nurses. Actually, it was people that were like, hey, I want to bring more holistic health into this field. What does that look like? And so I loved being able to weave with all these different practitioners, whether someone was in social work, whether it was in nursing, whether it was in chiropractic. There were all these people that were like, hey, I want to be able to see the whole person, right? Holistic, mind, body, spirit, energy in. And so, right, sometimes it was around diet and things like that. Sometimes it was more so how people are showing up as a frequency as a practitioner. Like as a nurse, people were like, I don't know how to bring in the amount of healing energy that I would love to bring into my patients because there are so many of them. And I'm working so fast that I'm not actually in my rooted space. And so we would talk about how meaningful it is when you're working with someone that's really there and really present, how much greater the healing capacity is to be seen, sort of in a way too. So I think you're right about holistic on the diet front. I have a fantastic functional medicine doctor that I love, and she, you know, comes in and does all the blood tests and does all of these different pieces and then sends me amazing charts around like, hey, here is, you know, magnesium citrate or whatever that would be really good for this. And then she's also like, hey, you got to do seed cycling for womb health. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean over here, you know? And she's like, you know, this methyl folate will help with being able to, you know, metabolize this in your system. And I'm like, great. So there's something so big around like, yes, all these cool vitamins or all these medications or these things to sort of help body align, and all the food choices over here and food as medicine over here too. So I love that's happening more. I was just in England a couple weeks ago and met these two just phenomenal people because England's healthcare system is totally different. And they were saying that they're actually building their entirely own new branch of healthcare. And they're connecting with doctors and people all over the world that are using more holistic methods and creating a healthcare system that, if you're wanting a little bit more balance, the people that are making those efforts to weave like holistic medicine into a bigger sort of field to insurance to be able to have practitioners that are in network that are like that. And I thought that was so cool too. So there's a lot on the horizon that I'm excited for, and I love that you can hold both fields in that, because people do go into the kind of the purple and red area of like, this medicine is bad, it doesn't do this, and then sometimes on the other side it's like, well, this is kind of wooey, right? Or this isn't
Yeah.
not this is not real, this is not science.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, I often I think sometimes I sit in that space too much because I like to watch things that or interact and watch things that challenge me. So oftentimes I'll watch like one of the people I can think of off the top of my head is like Bill Nye the Science Guy. He had a whole special on trying to disprove like Reiki practitioners and all like, and it was so horrible like watching it because I was like, you're not even letting these people talk like at all. It was so I was like, okay, on one like on a whole level, you're just being very disrespectful to people, like the way he was treating them. But I do oftentimes sit in those spaces where on both sides where I'm just like, okay, I just need to interact with this. So I need to understand more so that way I can kind of reach both sides if needed. I feel like that kind of makes the space I can hold bigger, if that makes sense. But that,
Yeah.
yeah.
Hey, I haven't seen the Bill Nye special piece. That sounds kind of sad in one way. And
Was rough to watch. But also, on one hand, it was rough to watch. But I will say, there was especially one. I can't even say the word. I struggle. Astrologist. Yes, thank you. He was sitting there, and he was part of this little panel, and he had like three other scientists and this astrologist, and they weren't really letting him explain much. But at some point, he was like, "I don't think you're understanding, like." You know, this might not be, or this might, you may see this as a pseudoscience, but this is also art. And this is like, it has a great impact on people, just how other pieces of art do. And I've never heard anybody like put, I guess, try to explain themselves and like take it out of like, okay, let's take this out of science for a second. But, you know, even if we're not, even if we're not talking about science, even if it doesn't fit in that scenario of your logic, then, you know, art does. And here's how this helps in this way. And so, but he was really good at like trying to get jump in there and like go back and forth with them. And I was, and like, I had like two different things going of like, wow, like I really am proud of, you know, our practitioners and the people who are working because they handled the really well. I would not, I don't think I would have been able to. Like at that time I was watching, I think I got like kind of sad or like really sad. And then I kind of realized I was like, you know what? I think they handled themselves in such a positive way that like as an outsider watching, I think I could be like, I think I could see, you know, that they were trying their best, I guess, to like you could tell that they were logical. They weren't just trying to, you know, like, no, this is gonna fix everything. It's gonna work. You know, they were actual practitioners, and you could see their professionalism through that.
Right. Yeah. I do love you speaking to the art piece too. And I wonder, even as you were talking, I was trying to imagine the panel, right? And all the different, like trying to prove this and trying to prove that. And I was thinking about how there are so many different dimensional frequencies of healing in all.
Right.
And so it's like if you're trying to look at Reiki or energy healing on this dimensional level, you might not be able to actually see its full breadth of what it can actually do. I think even there's a woman that I met who's amazing, and she does Marconics energy healing. And she talks about as our planet speeds up, right? Or as time speeds up, people can have higher and higher frequencies basically to be able to heal themselves faster. And so she was saying certain energy healing techniques are not going to work as well at certain higher and higher frequencies. And that blew my mind just thinking about, like, oh, right, people need different frequencies of healing. And if you're really invested in a certain frequency and saying, well, I don't understand how this healing frequency is supposed to meet this, it's like, well, they're on different spaces.
You're on a whole different, right.
In a
And
way.
you have to like jump into the other person. Like, well, I mean, if you're trying to like show them something, you kind of have to kind of go into that space
Yeah.
be able to relate it back to them.
Yeah.
So, but yes, completely. Have you heard of the Fat Feminist Witch? She does podcasts,
Oh,
and it's all around witchcraft, mental health, and just authenticity, being your authentic self.
okay. Oh, cool. No, not that.
Yeah. She got to her 99th episode in January, and she was like, okay, like I'm done. I can't, this is all I have for this podcast. I can't do anything more. And she just uploaded a new episode this past week for her 100th episode, and she's like, okay, I'm back. But she had a mental health crisis where she just was in a new Or I should say, she was in a new environment that kind of took her back to her traumatic past. And she was like, I can't create and be in this space at the same time. But she got to a point where she was like, you know what? If I'm not creating, if I'm not working on this, then I feel like I'm just not living, and I have to survive living in this environment to be able to grow and get to where I need to. And also the thing that is going to help me survive, which is, working with this podcast, working with my spirituality and what I already like to do, that's going to help me get ahead. So I was just wondering, with, I guess, practicing with mental illness and having those restrictions where you're still in environments that can be toxic or not safe for us. What kind of, I guess, advice do you have for people who are experiencing those kind of that level of everything? Because often two times too, we were talking about spiritual awakenings earlier, but it seems, I mean, it doesn't just happen all at once. It comes in like phases. So you can have that moment, have that like manic high of like, this is where I am spiritually, and you feel very positive in where you're at. You feel very confident in your abilities and your intuition. And then maybe a year or a few months later, that kind of drops, and you feel like you're not connected to anything, and you're in environments that you're not comfortable in. So I was just wondering if you had any comments or advice for that.
Well, it's so fascinating. I don't know this being that you speak of, but it sounds like it's funny. I just did a podcast on authenticity, and I think it's huge because it's so easy for people to say, like, be your authentic self, right? And you're like, I want to. And depending on the environment that you're in, the resources, it's where a lot of trauma is kind of created too, especially when folks are young adults and adolescence and things like that, because you don't have the resources and sometimes in certain ways. And that's where mental health stuff gets created, when you're not in an environment that mirrors your goodness or your true self or your health and things like that. And so a lot of people feel the trapped sort of energy, and it can happen at any age in a way. I see it a lot with people that are older sometimes, if they have to take care of their parents in a way too, or as parents age, there can be a lot of responsibility or guilt in a way of like, this does not help me thrive, and yet I'm responsible in certain ways to support people. I mean, it's huge. And so a lot of times I see a lot of people come in and they're like, whew, how do I create a space of healing when a lot around me is in shambles and a lot of it is in pain in a way? And so usually we check in with, okay, what is the soul longing for? What is it craving? And is there a way to be able to create space for that? Is there a way to bring more people in? It's almost like we look at this web around, like, okay, how much are you taking on? Is that the right thing? Or does it feel like we need to bring more people in? Is there folks, do we need to strengthen your community system? Because if you're giving out, I always think of spoons. If you've got 10 spoons for the day and being around certain people is taking eight, we need to figure out where other nourishment is coming from. Is it a skill-based thing where there, when you're interacting with that person, there's a lot of you? I see a lot of empathic, sensitive, starseed, whatever you want to call it, energy that is constantly trying to heal people in relationships. So it's not even the situation that's hard, it's the deep inner knowing and feeling that happens. And so there can be a lot of times for empaths, this like, I don't trust the other person to be able to take care of themselves. So then I will not only have a hard time interacting with them, but I'm also running this energy that I have to do everything for them. So it's extra exhausting. So a lot of times it's breaking things down and saying, where is authenticity blocked? And how do we need to bring in certain people? Do we need to ask people for things? Our needs not being met? We look at that whole spectrum because it's true. Sometimes it's like, I'll talk to people and they'll say, I know I'm responsible for taking care of this person and I'm willing to take it on, but it's just really hard. And I don't have the time for myself that I would love to be able to grow. And what I find sometimes is when people communicate that to their family members, to their friends, people can sometimes go into action, but it's really hard sometimes to ask people to be more responsible. I think it's Brené Brown that she has this amazing thing where people think that things should be 50-50. And she says that in partnership, in friendship, in anything, when you get together, you check in and you say, out of 100, where are you? And if someone says, I only got 20, the other person says, great, like I'll cover you. I can bring in more energy here rather than needing someone to meet us halfway. It's checking in where we are and developing the relationships where someone can overgive in a way and we can actually receive. So I hope this being that you speak of was able to get nourishment, even though a certain system wasn't giving them nourishment, but there's a lot of different pieces to look at around skill, around getting community in, around having conversations. And sometimes it's trusting that other people have to do their own work. And that's painful, especially when you feel someone else's spaces at the same time. Yeah.
I agree. I think one of those hard things, I used to help my grandmother take care of the elderly that they just couldn't afford, you know, actual people to come in. They didn't have family to help them. Or if they did have family, they didn't want to help them. So we would go in and check in on them. But I think there was another side to it too, there where there were families that sometimes the children were doing too much for the person, you know, for their mothers or their fathers, because they were just like, oh, they couldn't, you know, maybe they hurt themselves or maybe they couldn't get around as easy in the house. And then they just took over everything and then they were tired. And it's like, sometimes you have to be realistic over how much you want to help somebody versus how much they actually need your help. Because I think, and in some of those scenarios too, it got to the point where, you know, if that person isn't practicing taking care of themselves in some way, you know, you will see them deteriorate and it will come to that faster where it's no longer you chose to, you know, take care of them. Now it's you have to take care of them more. So with things like that, I always think of that, because even in scenarios with friends or family, when it comes to like emotional support or sometimes even like other ways you can help them, like monetary support, or I think a lot of empaths that I've worked with in the past, they'll go full force and try to help somebody and like with their every little need. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on, sweetheart. Like you're doing too much. You're giving like way, way too much. This person needed help with like one thing, like just probably talking to you was enough. But now you're over here like trying to help them, you know, like schedule appointments and figure their whole life out. And it's like, that's not your job. They need to work on what they can work on. So like having that balance, I think is really important.
I'm loving your wisdom and care. And I'm glad you're able to speak to that, because it's true. That's a big thing.
I will say it took me a long time to learn. And I think it would have taken me a lot longer to learn if I hadn't had that just experience when I was younger, you know, watching people go through that, going through that a few times and being like, okay, I think I figured that out, that we can't be doing that, you know.
Right, right, right.
And then being honest about what you can handle.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much. It was great connecting with you. And yes, I'll send you this afternoon. Yeah, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, take care.
Goodbye.